being covered by material desires, as did its soul, is also considered to be covered by designations belonging to a particular type of body. Thus, he considers himself an animal, man, demigod, bird, beast, etc. In so many ways, he is influenced by false identification caused by false egotism. And, being covered by illusory material desires, he distinguishes between matter and spirit. When one is devoid of such distinctions, there is no longer a difference between matter and spirit. At that time, the spirit is the only predominating factor. As long as one is covered by material desires, he thinks himself the master or the enjoyer. Thus, he acts for sense gratification and becomes subjected to material pangs, happiness, and distress. But when one is free from such a concept of life, he is no longer subjected to designations, and he envisions everything as spiritual in connection with the Supreme Lord. This is explained by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.255. Anasaktasya Yatarham Upayunjata Nirvanda Krishna Sambande Yuktam Vairagyam Uchyate. The liberated person has no attachment for anything material or for sense gratification. He understands that everything is connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that everything should be engaged in the service of the Lord. Therefore, he does not give up anything. There is no question of renouncing anything because the Paramahamsa knows how to engage everything in the service of the Lord. Originally, everything is spiritual. Nothing is material. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 8.274, also it is explained that the Mahabhagavat, a highly advanced devotee, has no material vision. Savarajan gama deke, na deke tava murti, chalvatla hoi nija, ishta deva spurti. Although he sees trees, mountains, and other living entities moving here and there, he sees all as the creation of the Supreme Lord, and with reference to the context, sees only the Creator and not the created. In other words, he no longer distinguishes between the created and the Creator. He sees only the Supreme Personality of Godhead in everything. He sees Krishna in everything, and everything in Krishna. This is oneness. Atmanam indriyartam cha param yat upayorapi sati asaya upada upai puman pasyati nanjada. When the soul exists for sense gratification, he creates different desires, and for that reason he becomes subjected to designations. But when one is in the transcendental position, he is no longer interested in anything except fulfilling the desires of the Lord. Om Akhyanati Virandasya Vyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Miritam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Dangalate Girim Yatkripata Maham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Paramananda Madhavam Vanchakalpa Charubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyaya Vacha Pachitam Pavanebhyo Vaishnava. I didn't attend yesterday's lecture because I was in the other classroom, but looking at yesterday's verse, we see how the topic is the meaning of oneness, or the meaning of Kaivalya, liberation. There is a tradition in coming from Sri Pada Shankaracharya's time, from the 7th century approximately, where oneness is understood by many people, in India especially, and in the West, because many representatives from India came to teach that doctrine. The concept is that oneness means that we become, that actually we are God. We are one with God. And we only have to realize it. We just have to wake up and become free from material designations, and then in this way we become God. We realize, actually, we do not become, actually we are God, and we just realize that we are God. So, impersonal is monists, followers of Sri Gaura Shankaracharya, when they read these verses, of course, Sri Gaura Shankaracharya is an incarnation of Lord Shiva, and he had the respect for the Srimad Bhagavatam not to write any commentaries on the Bhagavatam. And the only commentator on the Bhagavatam, I mean the main commentator from Srimad Bhagavatam, linked to the Advaita school is Sridhar Sridhara Swami, who actually, he was a Vaishnava in disguise, we could say, like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took the Sannyasa order of life also in the Advaita school, because this was predominant at the time, and he wanted to preach the message of Krishna to everyone, including the monists, teachers, and followers of those teachers. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, similarly, Sri Chaitanya Swami also took initiation from the Advaita school, but he taught Vaishnavism within his commentaries. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu highly respected Sri Sridhara Swami. So, but anyway, Shankaracharya didn't comment on the Bhagavatam verses. We could say this would be one explanation. Out of respect, he didn't touch the Srimad Bhagavatam. But there are many sections in the Bhagavatam where we could give a monistic interpretation also, if we take it out of context. Now here we could say, becoming free from upadis, as described in the third line of the verse, sati ashaya upada uvai. When we become free from upadis, upadi means designation, false designation, or external designation. Designations related to the body we have, like man, woman, animal, bird, demigod, god, deva, ghost, goblin. Goblin, yes, that's described in the Bhagavatam, goblins. Reptile. So there are so many different designations. According to the body the soul is living in, then the soul takes the identification with that body and acts accordingly. And really, it feels one with the body. This is material oneness. Only so much identified with the body that he or she thinks that he's one with the body. That he is the body and the mind. Isn't it? And we have so much, we value so much the enjoyment of the body. And this is described in the beginning of the verse. Atmanam indriyartam cha. The soul considers that the goal of life is sense gratification. When we consider, this is indriya priti. We love the senses. When we love the senses, we become entangled, we suffer. Because the senses are a source of suffering by nature. Krishna Bhagavata describes Mahutetya Kunalita Jamma Dukkalayam Ashashvatam. By nature, material existence is Dukkalayam. Dukkha means suffering. For example, how much pleasure can we get with a finger? Let's take one finger. What can you do with a finger to get pleasure? You can take the food, yes. But the finger itself, you cannot get so much pleasure. You can give a massage to the finger. What else you can do to get pleasure?
Pick up millions of dollars.
Pick up millions of dollars. And we feel it is actually imagination, because millions of dollars. Because we think it has value, then we feel very happy about it. We are touching and feeling great enjoyment. But then the global financial crisis comes, and the millions of dollars has no value anymore. So that's the proof that it was imagination, isn't it? So how much pleasure we can get with the fingers? Very little. Just imaginary. We just think. We think we are enjoying. We think we are happy. Thinking that this amount of papers has big value. Like I think yesterday, or the day before yesterday, the United States of America gave another, I don't know how they call it, I know it in Spanish, another injection.
Economic stimulus.
Economic stimulus to the worldwide economy. And then everyone is... This is like when a body is dying, and then sometimes the doctors come and give some stimulus. So they are giving stimulus to the economy. For how long will that last? There is an end to it. Anyway, going back to the argument, but we can't get pain with the fingers. It's like the finger. Pain. In many ways. Anyway, we will not get into the details. This is not. We want to be healthy and take care of the body to serve Krishna. But the idea is that we can get much more pain with it in connection with the finger than we can get pleasure. And this happens with the body. With every organ of the body, this is the case. The enjoyment is very limited. And even if we have a good karma, and we are enjoying, in due course of time, it will finish. The body gets old, and we may like it when enjoying eating nice food, but then, at some point, we cannot enjoy everything we want to eat because the body cannot digest it. Or if we enjoy, we can enjoy, but then we suffer digestion problems. So, therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us that the goal of life is not sense gratification. Sense gratification is available even for the lower species of life, the animals, dogs, hogs, cats, they enjoy the senses. But human life is meant for a higher purpose. Human life is meant for self-realization, which means to understand oneself, the spiritual position of the soul, and to understand the relation we have with the Supreme Self, with God, with Krishna. And actually to become one with God, not in the Advaitic sense, like the impersonalist sense, thinking that I am God, but realizing that I am different from matter, and I am eternally a servant of God. Jivaras Varup Hoy Krishna Nityadas. I am like a spark, like the spark of the fire. God is the fire, and I am the spark. As soon as I separate myself from the fire, my fiery nature becomes extinguished. Then I become like matter. I'm not matter, but I seem to be matter. And I may suffer. This is the cause of sufferings. Material desire for sense gratification, and the false designations that we take in order to enjoy sense gratification. In order to enjoy in this world of ignorance, we have to become someone here. We have to take a designation. And designations, false designations may appear in many different ways. For example, we find in Madhurya Kalambini by Srila Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur, Chakravarti Thakur writes that there are four groups of anarthas which could be related to the, we could say in one sense they are synonymous to the upadis. Anartha, upadis, more or less the same. False designation, false goals. They are very much related. So according to the origin of the anartha, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur classifies them. He says there are anarthas coming from impious action. So there will be anarthas, for example, anarthas related to vicious activities like meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication, gambling. The identification that comes from those anarthas, it will be one group, one type of anartha. Another type of anartha will be identification coming from pious actions. For example, Padmasana identification. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. Recently, I'm interviewing sannyasis for a study I'm doing on the Sannyas Order of Life in ISKCON, and I always ask the sannyasis the best piece of advice they will give to a new sannyasi I want to learn from. I don't want to, to let it be just an academic dry exercise but to get some juice from, real juice. So one of the Maharajas is supposed to be anonymous, so I cannot say who, but it's anonymous. It's not just supposed, but it is anonymous. So he said that do not think you are a sannyasi. So this is the, so, and this is also for Vihasta, it's not just for sannyasi. That do not think you are Vihasta, do not think you are Brahmachari. This identification is superficial. We may be fulfilling our duties in the Vaishnava system for the pleasure of Krishna. At that point, we actually start. Parmashrama vibhadasya slamushtitasya dharmasya samsitir haritochana. This is the perfection of life. To fulfill the duties in this world, as prescribed in the scripture, for the satisfaction of Hari. Otherwise, we should not give attention to the external names or to the external designations. In one sense, to follow this, like the Vaishnava principles, are like taking out, like if we have, how do you call it? Nah. Like I take a
splinter.
Needle.
Sword.
A splinter.
Splinter. Like, yes, I have, like, I get hurt with a stick, but what do you call that?
Thorn.
Thank you. So we remove a thorn with another thought. This is the idea. we destroy this thorn side, and these are the material designations. So we take some designations, but national designations, and we act on, from that level, but for the satisfaction of the Lord, and then we take off all designations. And we realize that we are only Krishna's servant. This is the goal. To Srila Prabhupada here, she is not accepting anything less than becoming Paramahamsa. Of course, she can speak with ownership on this topic because she's on the Paramahamsa platform. But Paramahamsa means, Prabhupada explains, to see Krishna in everything and everywhere. And this is actually the goal of the Krishna consciousness movement. That we become one with God in the desire. That we see only, we are so focused on God, on Krishna, that we don't pay attention to anything else. Or, and this is actually paying attention to everything. It is paradoxical, but it is like that. We focus on Krishna, on the root. We do not pay attention to anything else, because we focus on Krishna. But then when we focus on the root, we water the root, then all the tree becomes nourished. And then very juicy fruits are produced by the tree, because we are watering the root. So similarly, when we offer everything to Krishna, and when we see, we focus only on Krishna, then we become completely aloof from material existence. And we become one with God, one in desire. Kachit kevalaya bhaktiya vasudeva parayana agandum banti kasmiena nikharam eva bhaskara. And then while we are in the conditioned state, if we do that, if we focus on the process of bhakti, then gradually, as the sun dissipates the fog in the morning, so gradually all the material designations become dissolved without any separate endeavor. Of course, the process is also twofold, like by surrendering to Krishna, we become purified from designations, but also by focusing on the real designation and leaving aside the superficial designations, we also can better serve Krishna. Like we find the verse in Arada Pancharata quoted in Nectar of Devotion, Sarva Padi Vinir Muktam Tat Paratvena Nirmalam Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. The process of Bhakti Yoga, of pure love of Godhead, consists of engaging the senses in the service of the master of the senses. Rishikena Rishikesha. Rishika are the senses. Rishikesha means the lord of the senses. Because he's actually the owner of the senses. We do not have any. We think we have senses, but these senses are his senses. And we are just borrowing from him. He has given to us for enjoying. Like the father will give some toys to the father, the mother. They give toys to the children to play. Right? The mothers do that. They give toys to the children to play. And then they are busy. So the Lord gives us, rebellious souls, gives us toys in this material world, these false material senses, to enjoy. But ultimately the senses are his senses. And are meant to be engaged in his service. So therefore, the conclusion is that instead of engaging the senses, I mean, the energy, the human energy, desires for self-gratification, we should learn to engage our desires and our senses for the pleasure of the master of the senses. And then naturally, we lose superficial identification. And of course, in the beginning stages, we pay attention, and the beginning stages may mean the whole life, could mean for many of us, may mean the whole life. It is not that we imagine we have become transcendental, and then we get into trouble. Because generally, we are conditioned for very many lifetimes. So we need to pay attention also to be aware of doing everything according to what the scriptures say. And therefore we work from both sides. Primarily focusing on service to Krishna, and secondarily on focusing on the duties prescribed in the scripture in order to satisfy Krishna. In this way we remain protected and we don't deviate thinking that we have become transcendental. Thank you very much. If you'd like to make any comments or questions, the Maharajas or...
You're saying that these senses actually belong to Krishna. Once I heard this verse in Bhagavad Gita where the Lord has thousands of arms and legs all over the universe, so is this the meaning that actually our senses are his senses? So when he says that my legs and hands are set, spread all over the universe, assume that it is.
Yes, we need to realize that our senses are not ours. These are his senses. And therefore should be used for him. And the jiva, we are his jivas. Mamai Pantro Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. Krishna says, the jivas are mine. Yakiyatvana punar moham evam jasati pandava. Yenabhutanya shishami rakshyasi atmani atomahi. Krishna says that after taking shelter of a spiritual master, we will realize that actually all the living beings are his. And then when we see that everything belongs to him, then this becomes, this is oneness. Prabhupada describes in many places, oneness in desire. And, okay, in the conditioned state, we are allowed to take our quota. A quota is given to us to give us some space, because, like, for example, His Holiness Prabhupada Swami Maharaj is teaching us yoga, and every day we are stretching a little bit more. Yesterday we were flying already. So in the beginning, we start little by little, so gradually, we stretch until we fly. So the process of bhakti is the same. Krishna gives us some space that we have, okay, you have the need to have something. Okay, then you can take your quota. Take whatever you need for self-preservation, as the Bhagavad Gita says, preservation of the body. Kamasya nendriya prithir, labo jive dhamma, jivasya tatra jikyasa, narto yasteha karmavi. Desires in life should not be used for sense gratification. Kamasya nendriya prithir, labo jive dhamma. But one is allowed to have something. You can have something you need to eat, to a place to live. You can have one wife, one husband. Like His Holiness Hanuman Prasad Swami Maharaj sometimes gives an example in this regard. He says, if you go, like you are passing by, there is a garden and there are tomatoes there. If you steal one tomato, the owner of the garden may let it go. You take one tomato, it's fine. But if you go there and you start taking tomatoes like anything, then she will come with a stick or she will call the police with something. See? So similarly, okay, we can take one wife, one husband, of course, no, Sanyas is more. One wife, one husband. So we take over quota. And that's fine. And we use it for Krishna service. But if we take more than the quota, then we become thief. Or we become, okay, the first time you can say, okay, don't disrestrict if you give a break to the poor fellow and he's hungry. Let him enjoy something. But if we go too far, then we get into trouble. Therefore, also Rupa Goswami said, Atyahara Prayasascha, if we accumulate more than we need for living, then we become entangled and we lose the spiritual perception, spiritual vision. Well, the devotion diminishes by accumulating more than we need. Therefore, whenever we have more than we need, we should share it with others. This should be the motto of our life. We get more than we need, we share it with others. Especially use it for serving devotees. And ultimately, we will come to the point when we will see that actually everything belongs to Krishna. And then when we come to that level, then we can engage everything for the service of Krishna. Then we can, actually we can use everything. Of course, before, we also can use. We do not renounce artificially to anything. We are living in a castle. But we should remember who is the king and the queen of the castle. And we are the servants who also live in the castle. So it's good. It's good to be a servant of such a wonderful master. But we should keep in mind who is the master. Any other questions, comments? Yes. The other two are anarthas arising from bhakti improperly performed. So that would be, for example, and then the fourth designation will be, for example, if I think, oh, I'm chanting very well. I'm a good devotee. Then I think, I'm a good devotee. So this will be an anartha arising from bhakti imperfectly performed. Because we're performing bhakti, but the focus is not on Krishna, but it is self-centered. Or it is mixed. It's focused on Krishna, but also we are thinking of ourselves. So it is, there are anarthas. Fourth designation is coming from that. And the other one, the other group is anarthas arising from aparadas, offenses. So offenses can be seva aparadas, offenses in the deity when we worship the deity, like not paying proper attention in the worship, or paying obeisances without care, thinking of something else. Any relaxed way. There are many, there is a list even in Nectar of Devotion. Or Nama Paradas, the 10 offenses to the chanting of the Holy Name. Especially we should pay attention, of course to all of them, but especially to avoid the Nama Paradas. And then when we commit the offenses, the Nama Paradas, many, many false designations may arise. Like for example, if we criticize the devotees, we are chanting Hare Krishna, we are calling out to Krishna, but then we start criticizing his servants, then Krishna will be very disturbed. It is like if you go to a mother and you treat her very nicely, but you start beating the child, the mother would become very upset. She may even kill you. But could come to this point. Like when we deal with animals, when the more sensitive animals are mothers who see that their cubs are threatened, then they can't do anything against the human being. They will risk their life. So if Krishna says that we are offending them, she will become very upset. And then naturally, all the forces of nature will develop very fastly. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.